Super Gamecast 64. It's the best of 2019, part one. It's
finally here.
Oh boy, here we go.
This year felt fast.
This year went really quick. Before we get into the show, for all of our normal listeners and new listeners, because I know that a lot of people, they listen to the best of the year stuff, even if they don't listen to the normal show. Welcome. This is the Best of 2019 Awards. This is a multi-part series that we do at the end of every year and the beginning of, at the end of every season, I should say.
See, if you're new here, maybe we should do a little bit of an introduction. Okay, this is Matt, the one that was just talking.
Yeah, I'm Matt.
He's the hardcore gamer.
I'm the hardcore one.
I'm Kevin. I'm the funny one.
Yeah.
And Tyler over there is...
the Grim Reaper. He's going to kill us all before this thing is over.
I don't know where I fit. I feel like I'm in between.
So what we do on the Best of 2019...
I was going to make a joke, but I really couldn't think of anything that wasn't mean-spirited, and that's not how I want to go into this.
The Best of 2019, what we do is we have a list of categories. This year we got about 20 or so categories, give or take. This is completely different from our normal show. We will not have any of our normal segments or anything. We're going to go over the categories. Today we have four categories for you, if time permits, maybe five. We will read off the nominees for those categories, discuss what we think should win. At the end, we will discuss, or we'll have a winner and a runner-up for each category, and then, hey, we're on to the next part whenever it gets a little bit long.
I figured it out. This guy over here is Tyler, okay?
Hi.
Tyler has two wolves inside of him.
Yes, and they're always fighting.
One is a hardcore min-maxer, and the other one names his dog on Pokemon after his dog in real life.
tagged me.
No Pokemon talk today. We'll be doing best RPG on part two or part three. But now that we've explained everything, somebody, let's kick off the best of 2019 with a DJ hit. Who wants to...
DJ!
It's only a few more of those till we're saying goodbye to the DJ. Yeah, so Best of 2019 Part 1. Does anyone want to say anything before we get into the thick of it? Do we want to look back on the year at all? I feel like, like you said, Kev, it was a fast year. It went quick.
It was.
There wasn't as... I remember when we did Best of 2018, I said that I think 2019 is going to be a better year overall than 2018. Let's just do yes or no. Do you think the games released in 2019 surpassed that release schedule of 2018?
No.
Kevin, what do you think?
Yes.
I am going to go also with no. But the reason being because Assassin's Creed Odyssey did not have a sequel this year, or God of War. But that said, even though I think 2019's servings were not as hot and spicy consistently as 2018 servings, there is plenty of great stuff to talk about and plenty of content for this next 3 to 4 episodes of Best
of 2019. We're also 8 years out from the rule of sevens.
Which is?
Every year that ends with seven is a banger year for video games.
I'm excited. So without further ado, let's get into our first category, which is last year it was the most accessible game. This year we're calling it the most welcoming game to all players. This is a game that, whether through controls, through concept, through idea or gameplay, is welcoming to both newcomers, veterans. People can get on board without having to pay too much attention, learn a bunch of stuff, and you can jump in and play, and it's fun for a long time. So without further ado, let's list off the nominees for the most welcoming game of 2019. The nominees are, I'll start, we can go like round robin. The first nominee for the most welcoming game of 2019, Tetris 99.
Yoshi's Crafted World.
Stranger Things 3, The Game.
Witch Eye.
And Super Kirby Clash.
Okay, and so what we do normally is we go down the list. If it's a super big list of nominees, we'll usually cut them as we go. But I feel like this list is small enough. Let's kind of just go down the line and see what hangs. Tetris 99 for most welcoming. Do you guys feel like... Yeah, let me pose this to you, Tyler. Tyler, how many months did it take you to figure out that you could switch where you're throwing the trash to?
It took me 3 games.
3 games? Okay, it took me quite a while. Tetris 99, of course, being the Battle Royale Tetris game that was free with a Nintendo Switch Online subscription. I think the basis of this being nominated here is that it's Tetris.
Right, that's what I was going to say, is the conceit here is that it's Tetris, and everyone knows how to play Tetris, but it's also a free-for-all.
Yeah, I played a little the other night, and since this released towards the beginning of the year, now everyone's a bit better at it. People are doing those T-spins and all that, and I think that if you just now jumped into a Tetris 99 game for the first time, it would feel very overwhelming, and I think that's something we do take into consideration on this category.
Let me ask you something.
Yes.
If you started playing Tetris 99, and you're like, I'm going to play Tetris, and you came in 95th,
mm-hmm.
How would you feel?
I can give you at least an accurate representation of how somebody who did play for the first time feels. While I was playing Tetris 99, I let my roommate play, who had never played Tetris 99. They got 96th and said, wow, I suck, this is horrible. The next game they got 56th and said, wow, I suck, this is horrible. So I feel like if you don't get top 10, you really feel like you're not winning.
Okay, all right.
Which I feel like last year, the one that won was Super Kirby Star Ultras or something, which was a game that made you feel, no matter your level of skill, like you were completing something, you're earning something. And I feel like you do make a good point there, Tyler, that Tetris 99, while welcoming in gameplay, the idea or the objective of the game to complete it. I've never won a Tetris 99 game. Kevin, have you?
I've never played it.
And Tyler?
I came in second.
Yeah, the highest I've gotten pretty is good. Fifth. I still feel happy about that.
Yeah. I think I stopped after that.
You want to hold it here on the list and then we'll see?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think it's welcoming. If I had a choice of yes or no, I would say no.
Hmm. Yeah, you
but
know
I'm
what?
Not the majority.
And Kevin hasn't played it. No, I feel I agree with you, Tyler. And what you just witnessed, beloved listener, is the first cull of the list. So sorry, Tetris 99, but you are not the most welcoming game of 2019. Yoshi's Crafted World. I think Yoshi's Crafted World. Ooh, who played it here? Just me?
I think just you. But yeah. You gave us a pretty good synopsis of it. It reminds me of Epic Yarn.
Yes.
In that Kirby you can't die.
Yes, that's one of the main things of why I put on this list. Once again, if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I wish they would have talked more about that game or anything like that, go to our website, which is something I forgot to say at the beginning of the show, supergamesite64.com, and just type in the game in that address bar we have or in the search bar. There's a good chance there's an article of part of our Best of 2019 article series that talks about it, or you can just find the Super Gamecast 64 podcast episode where we talked about it at length. But yeah, Yoshi's Crafted World was a bit earlier in the year. It's bright, it's colorful, it's co-op. As Tyler said, you can't die. It's like the game is really, it doesn't want you to die.
Mm-hmm. I want you to keep playing it.
Especially if you have a co-op partner, you get like double the lives. If you fall in a pitfall, you just get bubbled back like Super Mario Brothers, the new ones for the Wii. So it is very tough to fail. What I will say gives it the edge of being a little bit more difficult than maybe another game on this list is if you're trying to do the thing you're doing in Yoshi, which is collect all the sunflowers, find the collectibles and all that, it does have quite a bit of puzzles to it, but just playing the game and enjoying it, whether you're a parent trying to have a kid play with you or just a kid who's trying to have a fun Yoshi, this is a game that a 6 to 7 year old could sit down and play and beyond the reading that is required, could play it on their own. I think it's a high contender. The question is do you guys like Yoshi?
My argument against it is that the category is most accessible, not necessarily easiest.
Correct. Yes.
So I would accessible say, to me means it's easy to learn and you progressively grow with the game in terms of your skill.
I think the controls give it a bump up in that it's very easy to learn. But you can change the controls. It's like a three button thing. You know, you eat up the guys as Yoshi, you shit them out. This is an explicit podcast, by the way. I failed to mention that. This is the explicit Super Gamecast 64, the official podcast of Super Gamesite 64. Please donate to us at supergamesite64.com/donate. Yeah, now that I think about it, actually throwing the eggs and making sure you can time it and stuff like that, it does present a issue where it's angles and there's timing to it too, so younger kids might not be able to pick that up as quickly. Once again, if I didn't say it at the top, each category has a winner and a runner-up. I think Yoshi's Crafted World, sorry, there was Yoshi's Woolly World before this. Might be for runner-up or winner, but let's keep it on the list and continue down to this one. which was a surprise for me. Unless anyone has anything else they want to say about Yoshi.
Nah.
Stranger Things through the game. I gave it an 8 out of 10 on the website supergamesite64.com. Go check out my full review. Who else here played it?
I did.
Everyone played it. I from the reaction on the internet, generally speaking, it seems like this game you either thought was good and a fun companion to the Stranger Things 3 on Netflix season, or you thought it was utter shit and a waste of time. So you guys know what I thought. 8 out of 10. I thought it was good. I played it through twice. You guys talk. What do you think? Stranger Things 3, the game.
I thought it was good. I thought it was well done. It's an interesting little... What, SNES-like
video game? It's like a 16-bit, kind of like Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
I don't necessarily think it was particularly easy.
Okay, yeah.
Agreed. I don't think that all the puzzles were necessarily... I guess it's not easy, it's accessible. So, I mean, by that metric, maybe it is a pretty good contender still.
The reason I put it up on here is that I thought that the game itself, when you take, oh, I'm going to sit down and watch Stranger Things 3, the season, and then you play the game matches up so well that it is incredibly, and the fact too that, like Kevin said, it's kind of like a Super Nintendo game. It has more old school controls and a little bit more old school design in that way, where it might be a teeny bit easier to pick up. But the main reason it's on this list is if you played Stranger Things 3, or if you watched Stranger Things 3, the show, you can follow the game pretty easily because everything matches up. And in that way, you'll never be like, oh, what character am I supposed to go see next? Like, it's all very quick. And it's meant to be played co-op as well. So if you're a parent with a kid, that works too. But as far as, like, welcoming and controls and concept, I don't think it's as easy or accessible or welcoming as a few other games on this list. Tyler, what did you think about Stranger Things 3, the game, overall? On the whole, one could say. Did you like it or did you not like it? Let's just start with that. Or are you in the middle and confused?
So here's the problem.
Stuck in a portal, can't get back.
I need to collect all the things as I'm going.
Yep. There's a lot of things to collect as well.
I don't like the sounds that the things make when you hit them.
You hit a bunch of like bushes and stuff with your bat and it makes like a crunchy noise that
or
sounds
your
like
spray
a
spray can.
Sounds like a Pokemon dying. Yes.
Great. Nobody wants to listen to that for 10 hours.
Well, they just had to listen to it.
Nah, once. It's not that bad. It's not too loud. But I got to bring it around. It's not best audio. Well, let's focus in on the concept and the controls and the structure. I do agree with you though, like the sound design, and there was like what? Like maybe three remixes of sounds from or music from Stranger Things 3.
Yeah.
And they didn't do too good on the audio in general. I agree with you there.
So this is an ISO.
Yes.
And as far as I'm concerned, it's the precursor to a nap.
So we gonna remove it from the list? Yeah. Okay. Sorry, Stranger Things 3, the game.
But I want to challenge you in saying that it's not about how much you liked it, it's how accessible the controls are.
Yeah.
I mean, it's either, well...
There is, I will bring up too, there is a lot of puzzles in the game, and each of, you unlock characters that you go, and there is a point in which you have to recognize what characters have what specials,
right,
and then switch between them, and towards the end of the game it also gets very difficult.
I just want to make sure that we're not going into this making sure, or making every category a
whether or not
a
I liked
contest
it.
Of whether or not we liked it.
Yeah, well, and there's, it'll get more choppy as we get closer to games we're more passionate about.
Right.
But even as far as it being welcoming, I would say Yoshi and another one on this would surpass it. So unless anyone feels strongly about it. Stranger Things 3, the game I liked, does everyone around here recommend it? For fans of the show,
it.
At least?
For fans of the show, yes, I'd recommend it.
I definitely recommend it.
So if you're sitting here and you're like, that sounds like a fun-ish game, go. It's like $15. Go have a good time.
It's on mobile, too, I think.
Yes, it is. So you can play it on your phone as well. That should be in the best mobile category, but I don't think it'll win in there. So honorable mention to our best mobile category, which should be coming up soon. Speaking of mobile games, though, here's one that Tyler was super into. I think all of us were super, super into and might be a contender for most welcoming purely based off the controls. You tell him, Tyler.
All right. You play as a witch who's been robbed.
A witch's eye.
Well, the witch becomes just an eye.
The game's called Witch Eye, by the way.
Yeah.
It's on all mobile phones.
Your objective is to navigate levels and collect your stolen stuff and get to the end, which I haven't done yet because I'm a perfectionist.
It's okay.
So
how do you control it, though?
Which way you want to go?
I want to go up.
Swipe up.
I want to go right.
A swipe right.
But I want to stop now. I don't want to move.
Well, just poke the screen.
Now I want to move again.
All right. Well, swipe the direction you want to go.
How do I attack things?
You hit it. You bump into it.
And that's it.
That's it.
That's it.
There are no buttons. You just move into things and you try not to hit the thing that hurts you back.
In the arsenal of mobile games that are easy to play, this is right up there. It's easier than Angry Birds. And the thing that I want to reinforce here once again is because we like this game a lot. Not only is it accessible in the fact of controls make it very easy to pick up, but it is a game that builds upon itself as you go. There's multiple worlds, and the game is never going to throw a bunch of stuff at you. Like classic Mega Man games and other SNES games, it will teach you what you need to know about any given mechanic or any puzzle sort of thing before it throws a bunch at you. So if you're, you know, not super good at mobile games or games in general, it's a game that you can pick up and still progress through quickly.
And it's fun because just when you kind of get the hang of something, they turn it on its head in a really creative way that still challenges you without making it feel like you're being bullied.
But with the basis of, oh, I only have to worry about moving four directions, when the game gets a little bit difficult in its level design, you're like, okay, I can manage this because I know at the very end of the day, I can get through it by swiping directions and just stopping. And I think that's a big thing too, is that stopping is a big, big thing. Mm-hmm. I loved Witch Eye. I was super impressed by it. I loved the music. But that was one of the things that stuck out to me immediately. It was that Angry Birds thing of, oh, I can sit here and kind of let my brain relax and just take in the very beautiful graphics and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. The only reason I think I'm not even gonna say it because it doesn't apply for this category. Witch Eye, I think, hangs.
I think so,
I agree.
Too.
I think it hangs, and I think it could be contender for top. So let's keep Witch Eye, and let's talk about our last nominee, Super Kirby Clash. Kevin, do you want to explain to them what Super Kirby Clash is?
Yeah, Super Kirby Clash was a free game that came out for Switch this year. They kind of capitalized They kind of capitalized on multiplayer. You can play it solo, but it's much easier with other people. Essentially, what you do is you pick one of three weapons, and that is what you fight. Four weapons.
It's like a sword, a hammer, a shield, and a
potion.
Yeah, you're like a wizard?
So not a shield, there's a wand.
Oh, okay. Right. The wand is the most...
The wand is the most powerful because it's time-stopping.
So you and your friends fight against beloved Kirby bosses in just literally, basically what amounts to a boss rush mode. You earn currency, buy bigger, better weapons, and it's very, very simple.
The thing I liked about Super Kirby Clash, A, is it's free if you have the Nintendo Online. B, it has that Witch Eye thing going for it of, like, the buttons are literally jump and attack. Yep. And then I think there's maybe another button for, like, your ultimate.
Guard.
Yeah, guard. There's three buttons. And I don't want to say it's incredibly easy because it does get difficult after, like, an hour or two. But if you pick it up and you're a... I don't want to say a baby, but you can be a toddler, and as long as you press the button enough, you're going to get through it, even with the AI people who help you out.
Yep.
It's a game that I found that I played for like a week and then fell off. But once again, I don't think that really has a say in whether or not it's the most welcoming.
Yeah, I would argue we're not the target audience for it.
Yeah, I think this was a nice game for kids. Tyler is arguably the most... fervent Kirby fan here. Tyler, what did you think about Super Kirby Clash in general?
For what it is, it's 10 out of 10. Absolutely would play an awful lot if...
couldn't argue for it being more free.
Yeah.
Please give me more free
Kirby
games.
It's so free.
Would you have played it if it were free?
I probably would have bought it for $20.
Yeah, I say I would throw down maybe 10 for it.
I think I would have been a little upset if it was $20.
But you would have paid it and not been too mad.
Yeah.
Okay, so... anybody else have anything on Kirby Clash? It has some cool online connectivity, but for the category, I think we've made the case. The only thing about Kirby is that once you get a few hours in, I think, don't they repeat kind of the same bosses?
Yeah, different elements.
This is also me not having played it in so long, and I'm sure they updated it at some points, too.
Yeah, they add new bosses all the time.
So as we pull into 20 minutes, we have gone over our nominees, and now you, beloved listener at home, if this is your first time, welcome to The True Calling. This is where the knives come out. The claws are out. We have three nominees here. Yoshi's Crafted World, Witch Eye, and Super Kirby Clash.
I was going to say, if you are of a weak constitution, now would be the time to sit down.
Yeah, because sometimes we get mad. No, we're really not going to get mad. Let's figure out.
Maybe not this year.
Yeah. Well, at least not this episode. We've curated these categories to be nice and nice peaks and valleys of funny and content. But we have to do the dirty work here. We have to give a best of and a runner up. We have three fantastic, family friendly, fun games that are not, what's the word? detrimented by their fun and easy controls. They don't feel held back. We got Yoshi's Crafted World, Witch Eye, Super Kirby Clash. Let's just do what we did back in the day and still do. Where do you sit, Tyler? What's your winner if you had to pick right now?
Witch Eye.
And then runner-up?
Clash.
I go...
Based on angles.
Yeah. The angles thing. I go Kirby Witch Eye.
Okay. I was coming into this with, I think I was Tetris Kirby.
Okay.
I have officially changed my decision to Witch Eye Kirby.
Witch Eye Kirby? Okay. You know what? And it works out fine. I love Witch Eye. Congratulations, Witch Eye, for being the most welcoming, best, cutest guy. You guys, you really should play it. How much is it?
I think it was $3.
Yeah. Really?
It's worth it, 100%.
You know, back in the day when you get on your iPhone, you check the App Store, and you're like, oh, that's $1. That's fun. And then games started becoming $2, $3, $4. And everyone stopped playing paid games and went to the free-to-play model. And everyone forgot that there's still great games. Witch Eye. If you download a mobile game and you pay for one this year... Unless anyone has anything else to throw out at me, Witch Eye, I think, is probably, it's the one to go to for the bang for your buck.
Let me just say that if you don't want to pay for Witch Eye, get yourself the Google
Play Pass,
yeah. I think it's on there. That's a full 7 days. You can try it out. If you hate it, well, you didn't pay for anything.
Exactly.
Just make sure you cancel it.
Congratulations, Witch Eye, for being the most welcoming game of 2019, and congratulations, Super Kirby Clash, for the runner-up. You know, shouts out to Tyler's favorite fucking puffy boy, Curbs, who is now taking a win and a runner-up 2 years in a row. Way to go, Nintendo, for keeping Kirby welcoming and both good. That was the thing.
I think if Kirby had a little bit more challenge as you played, it would definitely be the winner for this category.
I think if Kirby was a little bit more content rich and we didn't just download it the first night it was available after the direct and beat it all in like 3 days and
right,
go,
yeah.
Wow, that was really good. All right, who wants to play together? Well, it's kind of the same stuff. Yeah. But to that point, yes.
Did you all play Kirby Superstar?
Superstar Ultra for like Super Nintendo?
Well,
yes.
It wasn't called Superstar Ultra then.
Superstar. I actually played that this week with my roommates.
We busted out
the Super. Yes, we played a whole lot of the
arena.
The arena, and you punch the giant star and stuff.
Oh yeah,
that's one of my favorite games on Super Nintendo.
Nice,
classic game. Ready to move on to this next category?
Ready.
Everyone good? No one want to take a break? Okay. Best shooter. You guys like shooting games, right?
Nope.
You'll find it. This category is going to be a little bit quicker because I am the guy who plays shooters around here. The shooters we have picked out are a mix of all shooting genres, but for the most part, these are first-person shooters, unless you guys want to go around the... Let's go around the rosy again. These are nominees for Best Shooting Game of 2019. I will start Apex Legends.
Far Cry New Dawn.
Tom Clancy's The Division 2.
Blood and Truth VR.
Wolfenstein Youngblood.
Gears of War. Oh.
Gears of War 5.
Sorry, Borderlands.
Nope, start the takeover.
Okay, Apex.
I'm just kidding.
Borderlands 3.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
Nice. It's a nice rounded list. There's a lot of first person shooters, but there's some good third person tactical on here and some other stuff as well, VR. Let's go down the line. Apex Legends. Kevin, are you going to fight for it? I feel like you were the one who played Apex the most this year. Unless Tyler,
I would bring it to the semifinals. Yeah.
Okay. I have played 2 matches of Apex. I liked it, but never went in far enough. So I don't feel like I can talk to it. But Apex, I know
I have some pretty compelling arguments.
It has a following. Tyler, you like Apex?
I have played exactly 2 games as well, and I do not like it. But I don't like competitive shooters because I'm not good at
this. This is not your category.
We'll get to my arguments, but the fact of the matter is, again, it's not about how much we like necessarily. It's about what is objectively the best one based on.
Well, that's rough. We should also say that it is.
I think liking it's a factor.
Yes,
we'll say that much.
When we approach this, if you already didn't tell from the first category, when we approach what our winner is, it's not. We're not going to agree with the entire internet on the whole if everybody gave a game 10 out of 10. And we also are going to consider what our audience likes, what we like specifically. So we're balancing those two things. But when it comes, push comes to shove, it is what we feel is the strongest objectively and not necessarily any other things. Let's hold it because I think that's a hill to climb. You're going to have to make a few arguments for that. But Far Cry New Dawn... Yeah, me and Kevin both played it. He did a lot of the shoulder same. Shrug. Do you like...
I didn't even play it.
So Far Cry New Dawn, while cool, and while it did use the Far Cry 5 map very well...
I just don't feel like Far Cry, even Far Cry 5,
yeah.
I don't think its strength was the shooting aspect of the game.
No, it was always the storytelling right. and kind of the exploration, how it opened up into almost an RPG at points.
Right.
I liked New Dawn. I liked what it did. It was more action-oriented. It had some fun stuff, like you could double jump. You know, this is a realistic world where the fallouts of certain things are coming into play, and they're just like, oh, it's a double jump. Can't worry about that. By the way, as I almost spoiled something, none of these categories will have spoilers. I always forget to say that at the first episode. None of these categories will have spoilers. We're not going to spoil anything story-wise. If we do get into light spoilers, we're going to mention, but we will have a final episode wherein we go over the best narrative and we talk about our favorite moments from the year. We call it the Super Spoiler Cast, so rest assured, you won't have any big games spoiled for you. We will let you know when the spoilers come. Far Cry New Dawn can be taken off the list, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Love you, Far Cry New Dawn, but it's time to go. Okay, yeah, everyone's going to have something to say about this. Tom Clancy's The Division 2, which is also, funnily enough, on our most disappointing game of 2019 list, which is not this episode, but will be next. I'm not going to start with this one. You guys are way more into The Division than I am.
In a word, boo!
In a word, boo.
I think there's a case for it.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. I'm sure there's a case for it if you want to call there's, it a multiplayer shooter.
I think there is also a case for it. Looking ahead at this list, I think there's two or three that beat it out. I don't think, like New Dawn, I don't think the best part of Division was the shooting.
Yeah,
I think it was, once again, the exploration of this very nice capital city. Not very nice, but they represented it well. There was actual places within the map that lined up with real places.
And all the technology and stuff like that within it. You know, it wasn't necessarily shooting-oriented.
Yeah, there was a lot of gadgets and good tech. The shooting, it was a very difficult game.
Yeah.
And for that reason, too, I found myself getting frustrated.
Yeah.
But I was compelled to play it.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it doesn't hang, but if you believe it does, Kev, we can keep it.
Looking down the list, I think it won't hold up against at least two other ones.
This is usually what happens, easily. Listeners at home. Everyone has one they want to fight for, but then we get down to the list and we're like,
yeah.
So I would say, yeah, either pop Apex or Division.
No, I would call for Apex over Division.
Okay, yeah. So Tyler, why don't you say it?
Drop it.
By Division.
By Division.
We'll catch you later in most disappointing game where I'm sure Tyler will have some words to say.
I have words.
The next one is a game that I liked quite a bit. It was a VR exclusive, a PSVR exclusive, Blood and Truth. It was a game where you played as a spy, so to speak. You walked around, you did some puzzles, you had some shooting, you could vape, which was funny. You would grab the vape with your Move controller, and if you brought it up to your face, the PS4 would be able to tell that the light on the end of the Move wand was obstructed, so it would trigger a trigger where you would inhale on the vape. Or it was if you made the sucking in noise sound and the mic picked it up, but you could breathe out vape juice or breathe out. It worked a lot. There was a lot of quirky things about Blood and Truth that made it stand out from a standard VR shooter. But to that point, there was also... I don't think they've worked through cutscenes in VR games, guys, because it is not fun to stand up for 5 minutes and watch people talk. It's really not. And for maybe that reason alone, while I appreciated the idea of Blood and Truth and its quirky little things, we'll definitely talk about it in best gaming moments. There was a few cool scenarios. I don't think it hangs. I would have loved to have a best VR list like we did the other year, but I didn't play that much VR this year. What do you guys think about VR shooting games? Do they even excite you at all?
Nope. Only one VR shooting game excites me.
Super.
Hot. Super hot. I am looking forward to the game that is a sequel to Fruity Shooty, which was a really fun...
I think I did play that one.
Yeah, you did play that over here. I'm looking forward to that. But we'll talk about it in 2020 when that comes out. For now, Blood and Truth loses its spot on the list, but not without a good attempt. Good job. And it was also very cinematic.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Wolfenstein Youngblood. Am I the only one who played this?
Yep.
Do we care one way or the other about Wolfenstein?
I'm glad it exists.
Me too.
Yeah, like, I encourage everyone to play Wolfenstein. I encourage everyone to continuously think about punching Nazis and anyone who is unaccepting of people of any race, color, or creed. Any game that allows you to violently dispatch, hateful people without having to do it in real life is a treasure. And Wolfenstein Youngblood lets you do that together in the futuristic, well, an alternate version of the 80s with your buddy. And also features two female leads, which I liked a lot. While the characters were like so-so, I didn't appreciate having a Wolfenstein game or a shooter game that's literally about creating as much mayhem and blood and chaos as possible and playing as a woman. I really enjoyed that. I played through most of the game with friend of the show, Dan. It was a good time, but even stacked up against some of these other ones, I don't think it hangs. But I don't want people to think that every time we say it doesn't hang, it means it's a bad game. I think it's a good game. It's just not the best shooter of 2019. Unless anyone wants to stand on a hill because they love Nazi killing, I think we can remove it from the list.
Nope.
Bye, Wolfenstein Youngblood. I loved you. It was a fun time, co-op. You should have had a little bit more variety in your missions. Let's talk about Borderlands 3. I'm going to skip over Gears real quick because I've been talking for a lot in a row. Borderlands 3. Someone else take it.
All right. Borderlands 3 is a game that I refuse to buy out the gate.
Yes.
But I'm really glad that I did.
Wow.
The characters are all interesting. The gameplay is good. There is literally over a billion guns, and that's not a bad thing.
Wow. Can we get a small round of applause for Tyler? Tyler, who hated something and came out, and then he also admitted that he turned around and liked it, which is something that takes a lot. Saying you don't like something and saying, I'm happy I got through. Wow. I'm proud of you, but I'm also proud of you for liking Borderlands because I thought it was a pretty decent time. Borderlands, of course, the only way that I get into this is that the only thing I have to say against it, well, I have other things I could say against it, is that comparatively to Borderlands 2, it doesn't do too much to change things up.
Nope.
It is a great Borderlands game, but it might hang on this list, but I think other games might do some more interesting things. Kevin, what did you think about Borderlands 3?
I'm pretty sure I'm still level 12. I just was not compelled to play, man. I wanted to really get into this one because all my friends did.
Yep.
But I genuinely like
didn't feel the burn.
No, it just didn't drag me in at all. Like it was just more Borderlands 2.
Well, basically. And this was also a sequel to a game franchise that we played when we were younger and had the 40 to 50 hours to find the best weapons and to hunt down the bosses over and over
right.
and really play together with our friends. Borderlands 3 for me felt like I played a lot solo and then, you know, played with a few of my friends. Tyler, you played solo. You went off
pretty
for a little
much.
While and then you came back. I think we all kind of flippy-floppied with Borderlands. And while at the end of the day, it was worth it, I don't think it is as consistently entertaining as a story or as a single-player experience as a few other games on this list, or even as fun shooting-wise as a game like Apex.
I disagree with that. I do believe that the story for Borderlands 3 is pretty interesting. And
it is in our best narrative.
I do believe that it belongs there.
Do you think that even though it's not... Do you think Borderlands 2 had more memorable characters? That was where I liked the story of Borderlands 3, but I felt like I was more attached to the characters and kind of the style of Borderlands 2, so to speak, or the storytelling.
Okay. So in Borderlands 1, there were four characters.
Yeah.
A fifth character named Marcus.
Yeah.
And then, a guy that patched you up.
Yeah.
And Claptrap.
Yep.
In Borderlands 2, there were the same four characters, a new set of four characters.
Yep.
Marcus, Claptrap, the Doctor, and the most memorable character of all.
Tiny Tina?
Tiny Tina.
Yeah.
Well, they brought her back, and she's just a little weird this time.
Okay, so that's kind of the thing. We'll talk about Borderlands 3 as far as narrative concerns in best narrative where it is. But as far as best shooter, while it does sit maybe my 3 or 4 on this list if we were ranking it.
Is that a spoiler?
Huh.
Did I spoil that?
I mean, every Borderlands game before this one has brought back all playable characters as, like, if you go into Borderlands 3 not expecting to see Tiny Tina, I don't know what you're, you know?
Like, first of all, they're not going to kill a 12-year-old from a previous game.
Yeah, they wouldn't do that. So, I mean, light spoiler, but the spoiler here is that they reuse all the characters. It's a continuing story.
Right.
That's why I like it. So, light spoiler, but no, you didn't
spoil. And again, characters are great, but from a standpoint of what makes a good shooter.
Yeah. Compelling
characters. This is not a good shooter.
That's kind of what I'm getting at.
That is
like
I think it's a good shooter. I just don't think it is as compelling as the other shooters on this list.
Right, right.
I think that's a great way.
To
I think
that.
Yeah. I think we're pulling hairs at this point.
Fair.
Yeah.
So we're not even at that point yet.
Yeah. Borderlands 3.
Already bald.
Sorry. Gears of War 5. Gears of War 5 is one of the only third-person shooters on this list. I wanted to put it on this list because not only did it have a really great campaign that did a lot of stuff narratively that Gears of War 4 did. I mean, like, in the first 20 to 30 minutes of Gears of War 5, there was more narrative content and world-building than there was in Gears 4 throughout its entirety. But they also had really fun multiplayer. The new escape mode was fun. It was, like, a smaller co-op thing. Like I said, the campaign was good. They tried some new things with, like, vehicles and open-world exploration. So as a Gears game, I'm going to go out and say that it was probably the best Gears since Gears 3. I want to say it hangs, because currently looking down this list where we have remaining Apex Legends, Gears, and Call of Duty, because we kicked out Borderlands. But you guys didn't play it.
No.
Nope.
It was on Xbox Game Pass, so I would say that if you guys had an interest, and once again, this is not me attacking anybody, you guys would have if you were interested, because it was free on Game Pass.
Right, right.
So maybe that almost speaks for itself.
But I also don't feel like that necessarily negates it as a good shooter.
This comes back to the argument of whether or not these winners and these nominees are games that are 9 out of 10s that are really good that people enjoy, right, or games that we all, us three, agree upon, right, as our favorite. Because
I can recognize Gears of War as a successful, popular franchise.
Yeah.
Quite frankly.
Yes.
They wouldn't have made 5 of them.
Right.
If it wasn't a good franchise.
Contrary to popular belief, due to the fact that I did decently enjoy Division 2. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of cover shooters.
Yeah.
I just don't really like the way that Gears plays, so that's really not for me. But I can see why people like it.
And it is unique. Okay, so let's, I guess, because we've gone down this list and we've called as we go, before we even talk about Call of Duty Modern Warfare, if we cut Gears of War 5, we have Call of Duty and Apex here, and it's a matter of winner or loser. Do we want to reassess any of these? Do we want to bring back Borderlands? Or do we want, are we saying that Call of Duty Modern Warfare and Apex Legends are the two best and we just got to pick it?
I guess what makes a good shooter here?
And once again, this is Tyler, you don't really play a lot of shooters.
No, I played one.
I was going to play the one shooter you did play, you didn't even shoot.
Wow. The Hardline. We keep going back to that. Oh. Is that what Tyler's favorite thing is? Battlefield Hardline, where he just controls like some drones in the field and does.
I'll tell you what. When did Rainbow Six come out?
Rainbow Six Siege.
Yeah.
Oh, that was 2017.
Was it 2017? They have. It's just that
they have
pervasive.
Kept it years.
I haven't
years,
played
years.
It, and I've been meaning to because I hear how good it is. I was like, oh, maybe that came out this year.
That would be good for.
How much I know.
That would be good for best multiplayer or best online features, which are categories we have. Once again, it's best shooter category. This is really the category where I come into play, but I'm fine with these two last ones being there.
I think so too.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare. If you want to hear us talk about Call of Duty Modern Warfare, please go back to episode 134. I believe it was. No, it was 135. I talked about it briefly. I called it Call of Duty Modern War Crime. Just to reiterate, the reasons I liked it is that they had a new 32 versus 32 mode that kind of made it not battle royale, but opened it up in some battlefield kind of things. The story mode was really good. Despite some of its objectionable content, it was broken up into nice 15-10 minute levels. It was fun. It looked fantastic. It will definitely, Call of Duty Modern Warfare will get talks in most impressive and most realistic looking graphics, which is another category we'll have for you in this series. The only thing really that stands against Apex for it not winning is the argument of Call of Duty Modern Warfare's multiplayer currently is a lot of people camping. There's some balancing issues. Apex obviously has a leg up there, because it has gone over so many balancing things.
I think the biggest thing that Apex has done to contribute to the genre is their ping system.
Yes.
And I think that is, that alone, in my mind, is what makes it win this.
I will say that Fortnite Chapter 2 has ping systems now. We're not talking about Fortnite Chapter 2 as far as best nominee for shooter.
Yeah, no,
I'm sorry. It did a lot of really crazy things.
The cultural impact of it.
If there was a category for best marketing ploy and best way to get people into playing a good game, Fortnite would win it year after year after year. But
right,
as far as best shooter, Fortnite had its time in the sun, but that was one of the first things I noticed when I saw someone playing Fortnite Chapter 2, is I was like, oh, wow, that ping system is very pronounced, and it's very obviously lifted from Apex Legends, and most other big, like, the fact that Call of Duty didn't have a ping system for its 32 versus 32 was surprising. I guess what it comes down to for us as a show is we have to identify, do we prefer things that have good single-player campaigns or a multiplayer shooter that is able to reinvent itself, almost hero shooter like an Overwatch thing? If it was for me, I would go Call of Duty Apex, but that's only because I played 2. Tyler, I feel like just because of the way the thing fell out, you would go Apex Call of Duty because you haven't played.
Yes.
And then you're going to go Apex Call of Duty for obvious reasons.
I only go Apex Call of Duty because, again, what Apex did for the genre, mm-hmm. I think is really important. However, I don't think anybody makes a better shooter than fucking the Call of Duty team.
The thing, too, to point out here is that the shooting is phenomenal.
Right.
The shooting feels up there with Destiny 2.
Like, I'm sitting there, I want to play this game really bad.
And
to be completely honest with you.
Apex.
Call of Duty.
No, Apex, you said.
I'm saying that nobody makes a better shooter than the Call of Duty team.
Oh, yeah. They make really good shooters.
Maybe Battlefield.
Yeah.
Maybe Battlefield.
It comes out of taste.
You that. But, you know, if you're looking at single player versus multiplayer, it's kind of unfair there because obviously Apex doesn't have a single player mode.
I think what it comes down to here really is, and now that I'm remembering how Apex Legends went, is that Apex, everyone got really into because it reminded them of those Halo days. Those Halo 3 days where you'd hop on Xbox 360 with your buddies and you play, and it had that very team quality that I don't feel like Fortnite had or PUBG had, and it was in the culture. So you have this almost nostalgia battle between Call of Duty Modern Warfare, which was, you know, objectively one of the biggest first-person shooters on the 360, and Apex Legends, which recalls Halo 3, which is one of the biggest first-person shooters on the 360.
I also would say, and I don't know how this has changed over this past year, but when Apex first came out, from a gameplay, from a experience perspective,
yeah,
you had a lot less toxic players. The ping system did made a huge impact on the way that you play with people that you don't even talk to.
All right. You keep bringing up this ping system.
Yes.
And I was going to save this for a fun fact.
Fun facts.
But I don't know that it won't sway you. I'm pretty sure that ping system was developed in the game Evolve.
It might have been.
I think you have a point there, but I don't think just because something else did it first. I think Apex took it, what Evolve did, and made it.
They perfected
it. Well, like you said, it really came to the point of, like, I don't have to put on a mic because everything I want to say can be pinged accurately.
True.
Whereas Evolve, they were still working it out. I think Apex was the one that pushed it to the forefront and realized that you should have a ping system because voice chat is not a thing as much anymore. And if it was just the ping system that lifted it up, I would say maybe, you know, but I agree with
it's
you.
It's not
the
even
shooting is fantastic.
And it's not even just the quality of the ping system. It's the ease of access. It's the reliability. It's the perfect integration into the gameplay without interrupting. You could ping something with your bumper and then still have a completely adequate firefight. Without having to, it was intuitive, you know what I mean? You just point at something, you click a button, and it automatically tells your teammates.
And without getting into subjective content, because, you know, everyone's going to have different experiences,
sure.
Especially in an online game, I did notice that toxicity of, you know, people were more welcoming and willing to play because the gameplay was more intrinsic to squad. You couldn't survive if you just ran off on your own, so people weren't being as rude online. It's very obvious that Kevin likes Apex. I'm fine with Apex winning. I would prefer Call of Duty to win, or maybe even Borderlands or Gears, to be honest. But what I want to know from Tyler is, because Tyler, if you like Apex, you like how it played. You played 2 matches.
I don't like it, yeah.
You don't like it?
No, I don't.
But if
you played when Gibraltar was gigantic still, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so
I played pre-patch days.
Then let's just run it down. Kevin, your Apex Call of Duty?
Yeah, I didn't go into this category thinking that's how it would shake out, but yeah, that's where I'm
unless
at.
Anyone wants, unless you can change.
I would be willing to go Apex Borderlands. But I'd be
Are we willing to go Borderlands Apex?
Nope.
Yes?
No.
Is this where we get our first argument?
No, I would not go Borderlands best shooter. No way.
It's fair to Kevin because
I also don't like that.
I just don't think Borderlands is
best shooter.
Best shooter. I think it's cool. I think they have a lot of fun guns, and I think that's a great gimmick. But I don't think that means it's the best shooter in terms of what that means. I guess.
Welcome to the actual content of these best of 2019 episodes, where we flip flop and you know what? Yeah, no. As I said, it made sense. But now that I think about it, like I like Borderlands 3, but as a shooter. I would almost put it in best RPG for the reasons I want it to win.
I could see that. Yeah, or best narrative. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a shooter. True to form.
You're right there too. It's really is a shooter RPG, and it's a lot more about the numbers than, you know, being able to move around and shoot well is a thing, but yeah. Having a super overpowered gun negates the shooting mechanics themselves.
Do you have to aim? That is the question.
Yeah, some guns you just shoot and the whole fucking map explodes.
I think that's fine. I think that can definitely, it doesn't disqualify from being a shooter, but like,
it doesn't make it the best shooter.
Right.
So I think it comes back here to Apex v. Call of Duty. Tyler, I'm willing to concede it to Kevin. Go Apex Call of Duty if you're okay with going Apex Call of Duty as well.
But it sounds like you want to go Call of Duty Apex, and I feel like Call of Duty is actually a true shooter.
True.
Where mm-hmm. Apex is more RPG than shooter.
Oh, not RPG.
I'm than Call of Duty is.
I don't agree because
Call of Duty.
I didn't know they brought that back.
Yeah.
Also,
it's not, they do have a battle royale mode, but it's not completely battle royale.
Do they have characters?
In Call of Duty?
Yeah.
Not anymore. They did anymore? Last time.
I'm thinking of Black Ops, where yes. you picked a character and it was your class.
That was
right, great.
Call of Duty Black Ops 4 was very much like that. This is more like kind of how Modern Warfare was originally. You just progress as you get more levels,
You get an ACOG scope and you use it enough to get the
red dot. And exactly. You're thinking about... yeah, I don't know. Kevin, are you willing to concede? Go Call of Duty Apex? Give Apex the nod?
I don't like it.
Well, but here's the thing. You didn't play Call of Duty, did you?
No, I want to really badly.
I feel like if you played the Call of Duty campaign, you would be okay with giving it to Call of Duty. We're 20 minutes, and I hate once again to be like, all right, we're running long, but the idea of these things is to, you know, get out our ideas and sit down, and I think best shooter, while I love shooters, this isn't a category we should die in a hill.
Apex is also free.
True?
All right, Apex COD.
True, the deal, the value is there. You know, no, I'm fine.
I am such a cheapskate.
You know what? But this comes down to
from a community's perspective
what we value. More people from our community and us included would be more willing to try something like this that is free than plop down $6 for another the 25th Call of Duty.
The reason I thought of that is because you said I haven't played Call of Duty yet, and I thought about it. I'm like, why haven't I played that? Oh, right, I haven't purchased it.
Yes.
Apex is free.
So value, while is something we take into account, is not like the be all end all.
Right,
just because one game is free and another game is $100,
talking about entertainment cost.
So Kevin, you can go ahead. You tell him what is the best shooter of 2019?
Apex Legends. Baby.
Apex Legends, baby. Are we sure that came out in 2019? Then this is not me saying it shouldn't win because it didn't come out in 2019.
No, good question.
The point is that the way we treat it is similarly to the way that everyone else treats it nowadays. If we played a game a lot and it happened to come out towards the end of the year, is it 2018?
February 4th, 2019.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say, if it was February 4th, 2018, then I might have been
That would have been a long ass time ago, but I didn't think it was.
If any game has a, you know, if it's between two games and one came out this year and we're okay with it, and the other game came out at the end of 2018 and we're really hot on it, mm-hmm. we're gonna go with the 2018 game. We play it fast and loose here. You'll see that more as we get into our next category. But okay, yeah. Kev, what is the best shooter of 2019?
Best shooter of 2019 is Apex Legends.
And the runner up is
Call of Duty. Modern Warfare.
Nice!
Modern
Warfare. A nice 45 minutes here. Does anyone want to take a break before we get into Best Mobile? Okay. Yeah. Let's take a quick 5 minute. We'll be back with Best Mobile. So pull out your Apple, Android, and pull out your Google Play and download that. And while we go on this break, enjoy this nice selection from one of our best music. Our best game music from 2019. This is a song from one of the games we thought had the best music 2019. Enjoy. Enjoyed that nice music interlude. That was a selection from After Party, which is available on Xbox Game Pass and is up for a few categories this year, but not this episode. Let's move in to the next category, best mobile game. But before we do that, there are a few categories on our list that, while we would like to talk about them, we don't have the time, but we would want to recognize the developers. You guys are giggling at me because I have a stupid hair lick going on.
Yeah, you had like a alfalfa thing going
on. That was,
on
it's best of 2019 awards, alfalfa award.
Most alfalfa goes
best
to
best fighter Tyler. Of 2019. There was not a lot of fighters that came out in 2019. So the winner of Best Fighter of 2019 is Mortal Kombat 11, because I love Mortal Kombat. And when Jeff Keighley...
The winner is Skullgirls for mobile.
Skullgirls! All right, here's where we get
I'll go
into.
To bat for that.
When did Skullgirls originally come out?
No, for mobile. It came out this year.
Yeah. Came out like 2 months ago.
Unless you guys care about Jump Force or Dead or Alive 6, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat 11 and then Skullgirls for mobile.
Mortal Kombat 11 is one of the few games I beat this year.
What? You know what? You did. And I'm so proud of you.
How was the story? Was it weird?
The story was kind of fun.
The story was good. They did a good job of making sure that even if you didn't understand like the whole entire thing of... Because it is a continuing story. It was still... similarly to Avengers Endgame, a epic that you could follow. You might not understand all the character intricacies, but it was still like a fun thing. So, Jump Force, sorry, last moment you get knocked out. I mean, if you like anime, it's all right, but the gameplay was pretty simple. Mortal Kombat 11 wins. Skullgirls Mobile for runner-up.
Yeah.
Sneaking that one in there. Tyler's really happy.
I was like, not thinking, see like, that coming.
How many fighter games were... What about Skullgirls?
And that is a great, great segue. Congratulations, Mortal Kombat 11. Congratulations, Ed Boon. But you guys, while we're awarding them, NetherRealm, creators of Mortal Kombat 11, had some hoopla this year around their development strategies, as many people did. So while we do want to congratulate NetherRealms on making Mortal Kombat 11, we also want to remind everybody that game development should be fair and equal to all employees.
Absolutely.
And there should be no sexual harassment or any sort of harassment at all.
Or burnout schedules. I mean, quite frankly, the games industry, we don't need to get political here, but the games industry, something needs to change.
The thing with Mortal Kombat was specifically burnout, and what happens to the psyche when you spend years looking at car wrecks and execution videos on the internet because you're trying to make the most realistic gore. So let's keep in mind the mental health of all of our game designers and creatives as we move into 2020. That's all I have to say. Let's move into best mobile. Best mobile games. Guys, I don't play a lot of mobile games. I play like one or two a lot. You guys are the
Tyler
purveyors.
Are going to be bringing the heat here. This is our arena.
So
we are the gym leaders of mobile games.
The mobile space was good this year. There was a lot of fun variety in mobile games. Good genres, both free to play, both paid, as we talked with Witch Eye. Before I say any other titles, why don't you two go back and forth on the best mobile game nominees?
I'll start with Pirate Outlaws,
Dr. Mario World,
Dragalia Lost,
Witch Eye,
Gears Pop,
Mario Kart Tour,
and Archero.
Ah, wonderful.
I happen to read all the ones that I really like.
I noticed.
So let's approach the dragon in the room. Dragalia Lost. This was a game that did not release this year.
No, it came out last year, right?
But
it came out 2 years ago.
It did.
You guys played it quite a bit, and like I said earlier, just mm-hmm. because a game did not come out in 2019, spent hours upon hours.
This was September last year. It just had its anniversary.
Yeah, so it was like late 2019 or 2018.
So this is a perfect time. The game has been out for a year. It was free to play. This was Nintendo's big attempt at hey, let's do a mobile game that isn't tied to Mario or anything else. You guys liked it a lot.
A lot.
Oh, yeah.
But now that it's here, it's had a full year, do we think it hangs next to these other newer games?
No.
No, unfortunately it doesn't. It fell prey to the same thing that like most long-in-the-tooth games do. I don't know if it's that Nintendo's not devoting enough resources to continuous development, because as Tyler will confirm, they just kept repeating events and things like that.
It's kind of the thing that goes on with a lot of the games.
Adding new characters, but like repeating events.
You don't repeat events as much as they did. I mean, I think we had a brand new event for the first 6 months.
Yeah.
And then they began the repeats, and we were having Valentine's Day in May.
I remember you guys specifically talking about that, how the Valentine's Day event was just copy-paste.
It literally was the exact same thing.
But they were just trying to change it to make it almost seem like it was new.
Oh,
they,
that was the summer thing.
Yeah, the Christmas summer in rehash. July one.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they did this release schedule where it would change every 2 weeks or so, and it would either be a raid, where you fight a big boss... or remind me what the other format was.
So there's the full raid where everyone brought their four teams.
Right.
And then there's the really difficult single person.
Right, right. Where there would be like a nightmare tier that you could like, the best of the best could play.
Right.
And usually you had to grind the whole event because you would get something that would boost your power. And only if you had that boosted by playing a shit ton of the event could you reach that nightmare level and get the stuff you need. The fact, though, is I will admit they have continued to be as generous as they were from the jump. In fact, more so, I would argue, because
with the premium currency and stuff, you're
saying? With the premium currency specifically, but also they made it so that you have a random chance of receiving really powerful weapons that you would otherwise need to grind to build just by playing the game. So, I mean, they've done a lot for this game. But it just was not enough from a content
perspective. I think Dragalia Lost here is specifically, just for me, you guys talk about it so much and liked it so much. The fact that we are ready to drop it off the list before anything else speaks volumes to the fact that while it was fun and full of content, maybe this is something that also belongs on Most Disappointing. It, at the very least, it does not belong on Best Mobile of 2019. But it was a great mobile game for those months and the months leading into 2019 as well. Yeah. So, Dragalia Lost, sorry.
I'd say they had a great year, but...
I agree. I don't hate it. I'm just bored.
Right.
And I think I've said this before, I think I beat this game.
I think you did, too.
Yeah, I mean, eventually you're just running the treadmill. You know, the treadmill has an end.
I think if they had a compelling comeback campaign, I'd be willing to give it another shot. But...
Well, they have a comeback campaign every 3 months. It's not... It's not special.
Let's say goodbye to Dragalia Lost and then go to the top of this nominee list. Pirate Outlaws. This was a game that we had a article on. You could check on SuperGameSite64.com, written by Kev here. Why don't you start with it? Pirates Outlaws. Is it something that hangs? I played it as well. It was fun, a little roguelike, some card stuff. I thought it was cool. It was paid, right? It wasn't free.
Pirate Outlaws was initially, like up front, it's a cost. I think it's $2 to $3. And they do have a premium currency. However, you can earn that same currency just by playing. And it's not like they just like drip feed it to you. You actually get a decent amount of that currency just by playing and getting progressively better. But similar to games like Slay the Spire, it's a deck builder game where as you go through, you collect relics and cards that you can add to your deck. And so by playing repeatedly, you unlock more cards with which to stack your deck. Eventually, you kind of start to develop a strategy. You start to understand what things work and what don't. And Tyler and I had vastly different approaches to how we played this game, which to me, like the complexity that you could explore in this game is really, really intense for a mobile game.
There seemed like there wasn't just one meta of how to build and then you would win. Right. Like, there was definitely a powerful meta.
Very, very impressive. And then having played that before Slay the Spire, it really won my heart. And going to Slay the Spire, I actually personally feel it pales in comparison, but I feel like that's bias based on what I played first.
I agree.
I was going to say, Tyler...
But you could argue the same thing for you, I think. But there's no doubt that they are based... Pirate Outlaws is based on Slay the Spire.
I would say they're similar games.
Right.
But Pirate Outlaws does something with their cards that Slay the Spire just doesn't.
Correct.
And the ammo system really brings a new take on energy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bit of a strategy you have to consider
that
you didn't really have to consider before.
There is definitely... A lot we could talk about with the intricacies of this game. And it's interesting, say the least.
The true question is, Pirate Outlaws, does it hang? I from what I played and how much you guys liked it, I think it does hang and should stay on the
absolutely.
List. For sure.
Absolutely.
I don't think this makes it past runner-up, however.
I disagree.
I think we will have that discussion once we get there, but we'll keep it on the list for now. Let's go to the next one, which is Dr. Mario World. Dr. Mario World, of course, being the mobile version of Dr. Mario, which was a classic puzzle game for the NES and has found some love. I played it for a little while. Some of its free-to-play trappings, you know, you can't play as many levels as you want. You have to wait until your energy respawns. I liked it. I thought it was fun, but it didn't hold me. What do you guys think about Dr. Mario World?
It's wrong.
It's wrong. the way you play it is very different to any other Dr. Mario. The original Dr. Mario played more like Tetris. This is more like, let me move the block around with my finger and do things that you really shouldn't be able to do in a normal Dr. Mario.
I want to say vertical drop, but everybody knows that.
Yes.
It was not played top down. It's played bottom up.
Which is weird. So when you're playing Tetris, you know, you're trying to drop and create all the blocks at the bottom. This is the complete opposite.
Right, you're trying to float a balloon up into the right space, is what it feels like.
It was interesting, and it took me a few games to learn, like, the nuances of it, but I think once I figured out, like, the trick of it, I was like, it's fun, I like Dr. Mario, I like the presentation of it. I think Nintendo does a nice presentation with all of its mobile games. It felt polished, as far as, like, as a presentation. It looked like it was going to be full of content, but with most of these games where it's like, here's a long, you know, linked list of levels you have to play, once I got to the 10th, or, you know, I was about to go to the next screen, I was like, all right, I played for an hour, I had my fun. Maybe that's just me not liking Dr. Mario as much, but I'm ready to drop off the list, but I want everyone to at least have their say.
Yeah, and I did not play this. However, I have played Dr. Mario. I don't know. I think my standards for a mobile game are probably higher than they should be.
But I think your standards are as high as they need to be to accurately judge all of these against each other. And Dr. Mario World, I don't. If you're about to say that you don't think you have the chops on Dr. Mario World to compare it to the rest of these games, I think therein lies that, like, the fact that you weren't ready to hop into it deeply is just as much of an indicator. I mean, all of us were kind of the same way.
I played Dr. Mario and Tetris an awful lot growing up. Probably 10 years, 15 years worth of the same, exact same game over and over again. I love the music, and I love the strategy and speed that that comes with dropping pills on viruses.
I think in 2019, the year of Tetris being revived in Tetris 99 and Dr. Mario being revived in Dr. Mario World, Tetris had more to offer. Not that this has anything to do with Tetris v. Dr. Mario, but just Dr. Mario, while it was cool, didn't do enough, I think, in my opinion.
It didn't feel like Dr. Mario.
Yes. Like you said, it's wrong.
It felt like a weird puzzle game.
It already existed and they changed it, yep. Kind
of. But not in the kind of cool, ooh, I didn't think about that way, right, of Tetris 99. More of like
clever way.
This makes sense for mobile, but it's not really. Okay. Dr. Mario World, sorry, you're off there. Pirate Outlaws hangs. Witch Eye. Witch Eye. We just talked about Witch Eye.
And Witch Eye is a wonderful game, and I think it wins Game of the Year just because it's so easy and fun and
Game of the Year.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, mobile.
I was going to say, whoa, game of the overall Game of the Year for Witch Eye.
Scare me there. For
yeah,
sure.
No, I think it wins Game of the Year.
Okay. We're going to get into this already. Witch Eye, yeah, you just heard us talk about it in most accessible or best welcoming or most welcoming game. Is there anything else we wanted to touch on? The music was fantastic.
Yeah, which
you'll hear
music
it
was good.
You'll hear it across the music or during the music category.
Well, when it comes down to things and we fight about things, the thing that comes up the most is it is not free.
Yeah, but once again, I think it was $3, right?
It's $3.
And in the era of people trying to make paid games, I feel like a lot of people try to overreach and do $5 or $6.
Also, if you don't do the Google survey thing, what are you doing?
Seriously, if you play mobile games, you know, do Google surveys.
You can get free Google money by doing the surveys on Google surveys.
Worth.
And I mean, I understand if you're doing surveys, you're trying to collect up enough points to get a $25 gift card. That's not, it's going to take a while, but if you're trying to collect up enough points to get a $3 mobile game, you can get a few surveys done. Witch Eye is definitely worth it. And I think Witch Eye will hang. So I say we keep it on here and reapproach it at the winner runner up.
Yep.
Gears Pop. This is between me and Tyler, right?
All right.
Correct.
You want to talk about it since you didn't really get to this Or do you want me to tell you all about Gears Pop and how it's a Clash Royale knockoff?
I will give you the general idea of Gears as it pertains to, or Gears Pop as it pertains to the Gears franchise, and then you can fill in on how it rips off of everything from other mobile games.
Okay.
Gears of War Pop is a cuddly, well, it, they look like Pop figures. If you haven't seen Pop figures, go out this holiday and look.
Do you have the internet?
Step out of your house.
And you play as little Pop figures that are modeled after various characters, both enemies and good guys in Gears of War. You have two sides and you fight. You push out some characters, you fight. The thing that's fun about it is that it also has like horde mode. It has some of the trappings that the Gears franchise is known for. You can create a clan like other things. But generally speaking, it's a fun little multiplayer game. But as Tyler will now tell you, it rips off of a lot of things. To that point, I think even though it rips it off, it doesn't just rip it off and say, okay, that's all we have to offer. You know, they have the horde mode and they do their own thing. And it's still fun, but it is a ripoff. Tyler, tell them why.
All right. So you got your two turrets and you got your central turret. And you're sending dudes from your lines on the left or the right side to take over the towers and blow them up and then to kill the enemy bad guy.
Really, if you've played Clash Royale,
you know exactly what we're talking about.
Yes.
This game, you are capturing bunkers
mm-hmm.
along the way. There are three bunkers, one per side.
Because Gears of War is a cover shooter game.
Right. And the cover really does nothing for you.
No, it doesn't at all.
Other than...
If you put, like, a guy in front of it, they'll take cover for a second and maybe, like, avoid some damage.
Well, there are people that actually hang back if you've played long enough.
Well, I guess that's the thing it comes down to, is that I played maybe for a few days to a week. I played with some of the people in our Super Gamecast 64 Facebook group, which yeah. you should join. Go search Super Gamecast 64 in the Facebook. But you, surprisingly, for as little as you like Gears of War, played it for far longer than I.
It's a mobile game. I'll play it.
But that's what it comes down to. So I guess that's the question. Did you play it because you were surprised that it was better, or did you play it because it was just another Clash clone and you were, like, bored for the week?
I played it because I was surprised that it was better than bad.
Yeah. I think that when we originally talked about Gears Pop, we were like, what are you guys doing? And then you downloaded it, you're like, this isn't trash.
This isn't horrible. I don't hate this immediately. You know what I did like about it is the Horde mode and how unique that was.
Yes. I had fun playing that with Mike C., friend of the show, Mike C.
Yeah. He and I played an awful lot of Horde, and I am sorry to say that I don't miss it.
You miss the times that you spent with friends of the show and friends of your friends of the friends. You just don't yep. miss the gameplay.
yeah. Let's play something else. How about that, Mike?
Sounds
good. All right.
Anything else you want to say on Gears Pop?
Good try.
Good try. You know what?
GG.
For taking a M-rated, a very M-rated franchise and crossing it over with chibi collectibles and making a mobile game and not shitting the bed entirely. Decent job.
You know, this was like a Hasbro game.
They had that Pop money.
They had that. They did have that Pop money. If you're going to attach yourself, you might as well make a Beanie Baby, right? Pirate Outlaws stays. Gears Pop goes. We have three nominees left here. Pirate Outlaws, Mario Kart Tour, and Archero. Let's talk about Mario Kart Tour real quick.
Here's what I think about Mario Kart Tour.
You don't like the Kart Tour?
No. Nope. I didn't like it.
Okay.
I tried it for a couple days.
I played the Kart Tour. Young Dano in front of the show played Kart Tour. My lovely partner Sabrina played Kart Tour. I think that while Mario Kart Tour was fun and could bring people into the... Everyone likes Mario Kart, you know?
Right. Except people who don't.
True facts. Wow. Well, true facts.
How insightful. I think
1 in 3 people don't like Mario Kart.
I think there was a... Yeah, true. Yeah. Sitting here right now, there is the 1 in 3. The thing is, I think the controls, you could either use turning, which was lackluster, and then you could do drifting, which was the way to play. But
yeah, I disagree entirely.
What?
Because turning was way easier.
Well, okay, turning is way easier, but drifting, if you want to compete at the levels of, like, the higher tiers, like, everyone's drifting super fast. You have to always be pulling up the sparks. The difference between being able to play it and actually competing, and to that point, competing meant you were playing against people who might have purchased things. There was, like, a pay-to-win aspect.
Yup.
I am okay dropping Mario Kart Tour off a list, not because I think it's a bad game. Even though you guys might disagree, I think it's fun. I think it's well worth your time, at least for, you know, a day or two. I don't think that... It was what people were expecting. I think that it changed things for probably the worst in some ways, the better in some, but overall, this was kind of the Animal Crossing thing. The same thing as like...
I think it was much worse than that.
Well, okay, but the way of when Animal Crossing Mobile came out, everyone kind of had a preconceived notion of what it should be, and then it wasn't that, it was different. People were still okay with it, but it wasn't Animal Crossing. This is Mario Kart, an approximation, arguably closer to the original game than Animal Crossing, but still that, this wasn't really what I was looking for.
Right.
And it was enough meh to push people away from it entirely.
It's not balanced. It's kart power.
Yeah. So unless we really want to talk about Mario Kart Tour, it's Mario Kart. You played it, but with some shitty controls and some kind of annoying stuff. All right. Mario Kart Tour. Loved you. You would have hung around third or fourth for me. Kev, you're okay dropping as well?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And here comes the real winner.
Okay, yeah, no, so this category, even before we came in, I knew it was going to be between Pirate Outlaws, Witch Eye, and Archero. You guys, before we even talk about Archero, I have to say thank you so much to community member Colin for recommending this to us.
Big time.
Big, 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 nice recommendation towards the summer, was it? Once again, this is proof in concept and in execution that if you go on to our podcast website or in our both website or the Facebook group and, you know, tell us a fun game, we'll play it. And I mean, damn, it might be our favorite game of the year. So talk about Archero as the mobile game, as best mobile game. What did you guys like about it? What did you dislike? And is it going to win?
So a quick summary is it's your standard energy-based free-to-play mobile game where you run from room to room killing mobs and collecting experience and you level up throughout your experience going through the game to a maximum of level 10, I believe, or 11,
maybe.
Is that
a roguelike?
It is a roguelike.
Okay.
Roguelike bullet hell, I guess I would call it.
It's a shoot 'em up kind of thing.
Yeah, so I don't know if you remember what was that one game, Tyler, that was made by the people who did Clash Royale? The
Boom Beach.
No, the MOBA.
Hold on.
There was a MOBA
Brawl
shooter.
Stars.
Brawl Stars.
Yeah. Brawl Stars. It looks
fun game.
Is it this
very
year?
Similar.
I don't know. Let me check.
Brawl Stars looks very similar to Archero, except you are one person against PvE. You're against a computer.
Yeah, Brawl Stars was a PvP fighting against other teams, whereas this is you against the world.
Right, and as you level up, you get different abilities at random. There's like a slot machine thing that happens when you level up, and you pick from one of three abilities that range from super awesome to kind of useless. Each level presents its own challenges. Each world presents its own challenges.
I was going to say, how much of a game is it? Because I feel like a problem with a lot of roguelikes is they go, all right, so roguelike, it's meant to be replayed over and over, so they kind of make it too hard. Or you know, they know they have that, so they don't put out as much content. Is Archero just like a full game, but it's also roguelike?
No, it's very challenging, but in a very compelling way.
Ah.
Because you pay 5 energy per run. Energy recovers at like 1 per 2 minutes or something like that. So, you know, a run, if you played from level 1 to level 20 in a run, depending on the difficulty of that particular world that you're on, could take anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes. So you could theoretically earn the energy back you spent, you know,
playing
for that. Right, for playing while you're playing it. They've recently included new champions that you can choose that do different things, events that you can participate in.
Ooh, everyone likes events until they start repeating them.
Right, but they're not predicated on that necessarily. What they are is just like, so in a normal Archero run, you would have an opportunity, at drops that you can use to fuse and increase your weapon armor. You have 2 little companions that you can have, and you can wear 2 rings. And all those things contribute to your overall power in different ways. And so the events just increase opportunities for drops, or increase opportunities at this upgrade material you need to make your champion stronger, which is also a new thing.
Fun.
They've added so many things since the game launched that's kind of what's giving it staying power.
So not only is it good, but they're making sure to update it and keep it fresh even long after.
Correct.
There's just so much to do.
So, Tyler, Archero, you like it quite a bit?
I like it quite a bit, yeah.
Kev just gave us a very apt description of how it plays and what it's like. Do you want to say a piece on it before we start pitting these against each other?
I'd like to mention that there is you don't need skill to play Archero. It just helps.
I was just going to ask
you. Disagree very, very much. How far have you gotten, I guess, is
so
the question.
I'm having trouble passing the chapter I'm on.
Okay.
I'm just saying that the more you play, the more skill you'll gain as you go.
Yeah. So don't worry about being so challenging that you can't.
My point is you don't need skill going in.
Like, you can
very
play.
Good point.
That's what I was going to say is that, Tyler, correct me if I'm wrong, but you historically don't like bullet hells, or do you do?
No, I love
you
bullet hells.
Okay, it was you're there. And the thing with bullet hells, I also love them, is that approaching them, just seeing what can happen on the screen, you might be like, oh, I'm not good enough for that. But any good bullet hell will feel approachable. I'm glad you brought that up.
I will say, you can ask Tyler, no matter how many times we've played Monster Hunter together, no matter how many hundreds of hours I've logged on that game, I almost never memorize boss patterns or anything like that. And while Archero is easier because they really only have a sequence of like three moves, you face three different bosses in each run, and they rotate, so you're not always facing the same boss. The fact of the matter is, you keep playing the run, and you get better by just virtue of playing over and over, like Tyler was saying.
Practice
like,
makes perfect, baby.
You start to get better at interpreting and knowing where the bullets are going to land, so you know where to stand when it happens.
I have a good way to phrase the comfort of this game. Just one more level.
Just one more
very
level.
Much just one more level.
The argument then here, or not the argument, but the decision we have to make, Pirate Outlaws, which I, Archero, I have not played Archero. So I kind of step back and let you guys sit here. If it was me, it would be Witch Eye Archero only because while I liked Pirate Outlaws, I believe from hearing everyone talk about the community that Archero is at least worth the runner-up. I historically don't like to endorse games that I haven't played. That's just me. But that's why I fall where I fall. Where are you guys sitting?
I'm still a toss-up between Pirate Outlaws and Archero being
Number one. And then Witch Eye's your runner-up?
No, the one that lost would be my runner-up.
Okay, so
I think Witch Eye's a great game, but part of what makes a really good mobile game for me is continued playability.
Lifestyle?
Right, so Witch Eye, while it's a fantastic, great single-serving game, it's just that. Like, I feel compelled to go back and rerun a level to get all the gems. But if I'm doing that as I go, there's no point for me to replay the game.
I don't usually stick around. Tyler, we were just discussing this, is that I usually, you know, play a mobile game and run too. I don't, so the fact something have a long replayability does hold weight for me. Witch Eye I played, I liked. I didn't beat Witch Eye. I did drop off of it, but that is a point, that I think weighs pretty heavily. But Tyler, where are you sitting?
I would sit at Archero Witch Eye.
Archero Witch Eye?
You make a good point there, Kev. The replayability of Archero does make it a good mobile game. But I'm not looking at it as, this is a good mobile game.
It's a good game?
It's a good game on mobile.
Yeah.
I would play Witch Eye on a console.
I think Witch Eye on Switch, or it would be great on, it would have been a huge success on DS. If it would have come out back in the day,
it would have been a huge success.
I think
DS.
They could have done something really creative with it, similar to Downwell, if they released it on Switch.
What did they do with Downwell?
Well, a friend of the show, Kevin T, actually just bought a physical copy of Downwell, and they sold it with a Switch grip that you
yeah, because you play the game,
you play it vertical on your Switch.
Wow.
So if they had done something creative like that, I think it would have had a ton of success, even more.
Well,
I guess,
there's
success.
Still time, too.
Sure,
I mean, there's
sure.
Mobile games have gotten.
I'm like very strong about the fact that like, okay, so let's just raise the curtain here a little bit. You're playing mobile games while you shit. Everybody knows that. Okay. Witch Eye lasts you a couple weeks.
I honestly, the funniest thing for me is that I play mobile games while I smoke a cigarette and then I shit, but I turn off the mobile game while I'm pooping and do other things.
That's where you go. That's where you're wrong.
All right. So I'm,
because if I sit there too long, my legs start to get pins and needles. I get TV static in my feet, and then I can't walk. I giggle because I'm like, oh, it hurts, but it's funny. And then I can't walk. I got to sit back down in the toilet, and then I have to hit my legs because it starts hurting. That's
There are three stalls in my bathroom at work, And I'm just picturing our 3 feet below. And that's where this conversation is coming from.
Yes.
So that's where my head's at now.
Can you put like an echo effect on this
whole? No, God. No. all right, let's get into the nitty gritty here.
Oh man, I'm still struggling. Like,
are you willing? This is me not playing Archero. If I give it to Archero, are you willing to go Archero? Which eye for us?
I cannot, in good conscience, do
you
that.
You can't I'm die so on this hill.
No, I cannot.
Here's the thing.
I'm willing to go which eye Archero.
I have logged so much time on both Pirate Outlaws and Archero.
As have I. I can't give it to Pirate Outlaws because you have to spend a good amount of time playing through the run. If you don't know everything.
True.
You will be there Very for true. 45 minutes.
Very true.
If you guys reach an agreement between Pirate Outlaws.
When I started chapter one on Pirate Outlaws, it would take me a solid hour.
An hour.
So we're talking at least 3 to 4 sessions.
Right.
In the toilet, if we're going
to
go.
Yeah,
if
the question is, if you're trying to get a bang for your buck,
that, right?
You know.
Okay.
a bang for your poop, by.
I guess it depends on how long you, on average, spend on the toilet,
yeah.
Or how frequently you go.
That's what I'm saying.
Could mean 2 to 3 days of playing the same run. However, as you get better, as I got better, as I found the guy that works for me, the character or whatever, I could complete a run of World 1 in, like, 15 minutes. But you have a very good point.
We have one more.
A good point that I think has convinced me that I think Archero wins. And not just because,
I'll
as
you
stated
that.
Earlier, that it won Best Mobile Game 2019 for the Google Play Store.
Congratulations, by the way.
Yeah, good
Which
job.
Which is awesome. I mean, nobody heard of these guys. Habby, right?
Habby.
And now Guerrilla Games.
Guerrilla Games also joined in on that.
The nice thing about this is that I like all three of these games, even not having played Archero. So whatever you guys are willing to make an agreement on.
I just can't honestly in good faith say that like, just because of the replayability factor, I don't think Which Eye should take runner-up, personally.
I like it a lot. I think it's at least deserves runner-up. I think that...
If you both vote that, I don't have a choice.
Usually that's like the end thing is that if we can't come to a agreement, we go majority rules, but no one's ever happy. But you will forget about it in 2 months, I guess.
I'll forget about it by the time I get home, I'm sure.
Okay. Well, so we're sitting right now for winner.
The reason I would say I would prefer Pirate Outlaws over Which Eye is simply because of variety. Okay. When you sit down to play Pirate Outlaws, you can do different game modes. You can play with different characters. Each game you play is going to be different because you're building a different deck. You're getting different relics. You're going to run into different things. You might get hate fucked off of the map by just really bad luck.
Yeah.
Whereas Which Eye is a very contained thing, which is not a bad thing. I'm willing to recognize Which Eye for the quality of
game. It's not what you look for
exactly.
Specifically.
Exactly. So for me, personally, what I look for in a mobile game is not endless replayability, but the desire to go back. And I played Which Eye the first day I got it. I played it for a really long time. I have not picked it back up since.
And just because Which Eye won most welcoming game, you know, doesn't mean that it can't also not win this or shouldn't be on this. It's up to you guys. I mean, the thing that's interesting to me is that It's Pirate Outlaws is like a card builder roguelike thing, which is Tyler's bag, and
yeah.
And he's on the hill for Which Eye, which I agree with. It's but we gotta strike up some sort of compromise, or we're gonna go through the whole vote, and it is where it falls.
I don't think I'm gonna be able to talk him down
from
Pirates Outlaws.
But I would genuinely like to know if my argument is convincing to you guys, or if that's really just a very tunnel vision way of looking at it.
No, I mean, I see where you're coming from. The thing I think that the problem here is that all three of these games deserve to win.
Absolutely.
I don't, and this is something we come up with a lot of like indie game or most unique. We often have this problem of we all agree, and you know what? Like, we can do all three because it's our fucking thing. We can say these are the top three games and not give a winner, but I feel like mobile games are your guys' big thing, and that for how much we recognize mobile on this show throughout the year, we should be able to say to one developer, here's an award.
And
you
if
know,
you really, I
we,
mean, if
we
you,
appreciate you.
If you really want to boil it down to like statistics, I guess.
Yeah.
If you were to look at these games on this list and base my vote off of what I spent the most time playing,
it'd be Pirates.
The top three would be Dragalia Lost, Pirate Outlaws, and Archero.
Mm-hmm.
In that order.
I actually would agree with that.
We got to walk away from Dragalia. We can't bring that back.
No. Of course not.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
But by that metric, using Pirate Outlaws and Archero being my favorite of the two, because it's action versus strategy. I like strategy. Archero is just very fun. All right.
Kev,
I gotta stick with that Archero and Pirate Outlaws simply because, if nothing else, the time played.
Archero Pirates is you. What are you, Tyler?
I'm Archero Witch Eye. I just don't like that the time barrier of entry on Pirates.
And you said you're Archero Pirates?
Oh, yeah.
Does it have to come to me? Even though there is a time barrier
to entry, you can pick the game back up and keep playing is really my counter argument.
I'm not just saying the play time through. I'm saying as well the time between when you get the first character and the second character. It does take a long time to accrue them coins.
The way I look at this, I played Witch Eye. I played Pirate Outlaws. I objectively liked Witch Eye more. I liked what Pirate Outlaws was going for, but it's not my kind of game. Mm-hmm. And then Archero is only me going off of you guys saying it's good, and I like the bullet hell genre. So I can flop either way. Yeah, but go ahead, Tyler.
Archero is obviously our winner.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Can we do a tie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
That's fine.
Yeah.
We've done this before. We did this is the second year in a row that mobile has had two runner-ups.
Let's put it this way. I don't want Witch Eye on you know, the best of list.
Right.
I think it absolutely is a fantastic game, and it deserves to be there. However, I just don't think it's as good as Pirate Outlaws.
We'll have those opinions as the murmurings behind the announcement that Archero is the best mobile game of 2019, and congratulations to equal, from the ratings perspective, runner-ups of Witch Eye and Pirate Outlaws, or Pirate Outlaws and Witch Eye, depending on which way you flop. Regardless, the whole point of this Best of 2019 and Best of All the Year Awards is to maybe let you guys know about games you might not have played. You know, every game, every year is just a sea of releases. No one can play everything. So at the very least, we just hope you have now three mobile games that you can check out. They're all three different, completely different genres, and that'll be something. Do we want to finish off with this last one, or are we good with three? We have one last one on the docket that we could do, but if you guys are cool with
oh boy,
ending it here, it's fine. It's lots of fun stuff.
I mean, we could always preface like for next time.
Yeah, you know what? Well, let's okay.
Yeah, we're ready.
We went a little long. This is usually how best of the year comes to. Last year we had 8 hours of content, 4 episodes. I'm not trying to do 4 or 5 this year, but hey. If it works out, it works out. Next time on part 2 of Best of 2019, we will... Sorry, go ahead, Kevin. You have something to say?
I just... One last thing I wanted to add.
Yeah, go ahead.
Regarding the categories discussed this evening.
Yes.
Other than fighter games, I just want you guys to understand the self-control that I had to exercise in not bringing Stardew Valley to every other category we talked about other than fighter tonight.
Yes.
Because it could be qualified in any of those categories.
Generally speaking, Kevin wants you to play Stardew Valley. You should play Stardew Valley at this point if you haven't. It will, and you know what? At the end of this, and when we reach the end and we can say our favorite games of 2019, like we always like to do, we have the Super Gamecast 64 list, so to speak, but then we also have our own best games of the year. And, you know, push comes to shove, you can always do Stardew Valley as your game of the year for 3 years running.
You can always count on me to make Stardew Valley my game of the year 3 years running.
So thank you guys so much for sticking around. This is a nice welcome into the Best of 2019 festivities. It was a nice thing. To recap, we did most welcoming to all players and or most accessible game. The winner of that, I do this every time. I don't have the winners in front of me, and I'm like, oh, I'll tell you guys what it was. I'm a fucking idiot. It was...
Most accessible game was
Most
sorry, I don't know your
No. It's most successful. Most successful game was Witch Eye,
right?
With Super Kirby Clash as runner up.
That's why I was swapped because you have two stars next to Witch Eye, indicating to me that it's second place.
Yes, sorry, okay. My
That's
bad.
Okay.
Then we also had Best Shooter, which ended up being Apex Legends, runner up Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Of course, the Best Fighter was Mortal Kombat 11 with Skullgirls Mobile as a runner up.
Ooh, I want to throw a honorable mention out there for mobile. I don't think it came out this year, so it wouldn't be qualified anyway. But Tyler and I just discovered a game called Orna, O-R-N-A.
Fun.
It is another GPS-based RPG, I guess you could call it. It's like old-school Final Fantasy. Yeah, like old-school Final Fantasy tactics. Old-school Final Fantasy graphics, turn-based combat kind of thing.
Interesting.
Yeah. December 2nd, 2017.
There you go.
And then, of course, Best Mobile, won by Archero. Congratulations. And then our two equal runner-ups of Pirate Outlaws and Witch Eye. Next time on Part 2, we will be covering such topics as the best remake and remaster, the most relaxing and chill game. Maybe we'll throw out a most unique game. Best new game looks like an old game. We have so many different categories for you guys as we continue into Best of 2019. We got Best Music. We got Hardest Game. We got Best RPG. We got Best Narrative.
We have Softest Game.
We have so many kinds of game categories for you. Please join. And once again, please, since we don't do any advertising, these episodes in particular, share them with your friends, with your family, with anybody you think might want some content on the best games of 2019. We love talking about it. This is one of our favorite things that we do every single season. I had a good time. This was a solid hour and 30. We won't be doing any recommendations for this. We'll continue that in season 6, and we will explain everything that's going to be happening in season 6 once we reach the end of this best of 2019. So that is all. You guys reached your maximum level during the Christmas episode. So let us sign off. Thanks so much for listening. I have been your host, Matt.
And I'm Kevin.
And I'm always Tyler.
Imagine a world where?
Completely underwater.
Slam that Baja.
Stick it to your mom.
Stick it to your mom.
There was another one.
Dad's back.
Dad's back.
Dad's back. Thanks for listening. We'll be back in the next week or two for part two of Best of 2019. Dad's back. We love you. Go to supergamesite64.com for tons of top tens, best of the year retrospective content, and check us out. We love you guys. We'll see you soon. Have a good rest of the January. Love you. Bye.
Bye.